Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out here in the fields, on the airwaves of 96.5, The Fan, Bob Fesco, Nathan Dusty with you on a Wednesday before Thursday. I'm confused.
It's Wednesday.
But isn't it Black Friday, but also Red Friday? So which one is it?
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's against the Raiders, so it's red.
Okay, but it's also a Black Friday game.
Yeah.
I have gone cross-eyed. 913-586-7965. We asked you, what are your family traditions on Thanksgiving? I think everybody has like some that are different. Like, I know our boss, Stephen Spector, says they'll do like a wine time and crumpets, right? Or whatever they said that they do.
I think they do outfit changes. That's how it is. Like, they have an appetizer outfit, then they change, and they have their meal, and they have their dessert outfit, and they mix in a mousse-bouche along the way, which I don't know what that is.
And maybe some of your traditions is food. Maybe, you know, somebody always brings like a hash brown casserole, or they make, you know, grandma's green bean casserole. And the reason that we bring up this sort of thing with traditions, because I was talking to my buddy last night and I was like, yeah, there's this article going around that's, you know, got this has, again, 19.8 million views, and it came out on November 25th. And the average cost of Thanksgiving dinner estimated at $58.08 for a 10-person gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It has dropped 5% since last year, the lowest since way back in 2021, $58.08. And so we're going back
to feed how many people?
A person of 10 gathering.
Okay.
Or a 10-person gathering, if my dyslexia could fix itself.
Yeah.
But the thing is that spitballing this back and forth with my buddy Brian last night, and I'm like, you know, $58, I don't really know the going rate for a turkey. But let's say it's, I'm going to get crushed here on the text. Let's say it's $20, $25, way more than that.
I think it just depends. Like, you know, Hy-Vee had the buy a ham, get a turkey free, or vice versa type deal and whatnot. I think like a 20-pound turkey is roughly the size that you're going to get. I don't know if you figure like $1.50 a pound, maybe. Again, I'm going to get crushed on it as well.
Yeah.
For that, because we're going to Smokehouse and we're getting turkeys there. So, I'm not, you know, it's going to be outstanding. But I was at Hy-Vee yesterday and I was shopping the aisles and going up and down and looking at stuff.
Because this, like, says turkeys are 6% cheaper than last year this year.
Okay, great.
So,
yeah,
whatever that means.
I mean, I have a friend that owns a turkey farm. We could have called her and found that to be the case. But I think it's
Jimmy Gobble.
No, it's not. It's Chrissy Sauter. It's all about how you shop, though, right? Like if you want to go out there and get the highest of high end stuff, well, then that obviously is not, you know, the price it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go out there and fix a good meal, you can do that, man. Like I said, I was at Hy-Vee yesterday, and there were really, really, really good prices on everything at mm-hmm. Hy-Vee, as there always are. And I'm like, the one thing I noticed were, like, you know, you can buy your cans of green beans for like under 60 cents a can right now. It's a great deal. So yeah. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, you could probably do something about that. You know, potatoes aren't that expensive.
Yeah. Cause like basically what you could do is like, cause that's why we bring up traditions, because you know, if you think about Thanksgiving dinner, if you wanted to keep it simplistic, like you had mentioned the Hy-Vee and the prices of stuff, like mm-hmm. you could get the off brand, like you'd mentioned, and you know, get a can of green beans, a can of cream mushroom soup, cheap onion straws, green bean casserole. Right?
Done.
Like,
yeah.
Simplistic. It's easy. It's there. Stovetop stuffing. Was it $1.88, $2 or something like that? And then the turkey's the big grab, right? And then you can do, you know, you could buy, like, if you wanted to do yams instead of mashed potatoes, you would do mashed potatoes. Gravy's cheap,
yeah,
right?
It's like
flour, butter, and bouillon if you want to use that.
Yeah.
So you think about it, it's like, yeah. Technically, you probably could feed a family of 10 for $58.08
mm-hmm.
If you just went, you know, turkey, green bean casserole, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Right.
Right? But people have traditions.
Sure,
like somebody's got to go get that Costco pie. Somebody's going to get that, you know, Hy-Vee dessert that comes out every year during Thanksgiving, or the Hy-Vee chocolate chip cookies that'll make me just...
Oh, I bought them yesterday for the game. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I like
they're
they
so
were
soft
on
and like,
sale. Oh. It was like, okay, I got to get them. And I get gas points. Let's go.
I'd have to buy two boxes. I get the assorted ones.
That's what
like
I got.
The Snickerdoodle M&M and chocolate
it
chip.
It had M&M. It had chocolate chip. And I think, yeah, it was like, yeah.
Snickerdoodle?
I think so. I just saw the package of cookies. I'm like, I got to buy these. These look so good. Oh, my God.
You better believe it.
Yep.
You better keep that one.
Yeah, the Hy-Vee Bakery, man. They had these cinnamon rolls that were the size of your head yesterday. I'm like, oh, God, I need some of those, too.
I still love the bread that's in the aluminum foil bag you just put in your oven.
I don't know what it is, man.
Like, you make spaghetti and meatballs or whatever Italian dish, I will always go get that aluminum bread. That's what I call it.
That butter substance that they put on there.
I don't know what it is, but it's great. Cut it in half, the little slivers. Mm. But do you have any traditions? Like, is there something?
Yeah, yelling at each other.
You yell.
Yeah, everybody yells at my house.
But you're not going away this year.
No, we're not. No, but so nobody's going to yell, which is good. I think, honestly, our biggest tradition has always been the stuffing. And, you know, my grandmother made it. My mother makes it. I make it now. The kids love it. Like, everybody looks forward to it. You start gearing up for it. And then you realize why you have it once a year. you know, because everything that goes into it. The sausage, the bread, the butter, the this, the that, the other. I mean, like, you just continue to go. So that's always been one, you know, for us. It's kind of, you know, been that and doing it at my parents' house. But, you know, this year's been, you know, a hectic year for us. And so, you know, we just, you know, call off the jam this year for Thanksgiving, and we'll regroup next year for that. And I was going to tell my mother, I said, I'm going to miss being with everybody, but I'm not going to miss the travel. Now, the other tradition is flying in smokehouse turkeys to New Jersey for my parents.
Oh,
they
yeah.
arrived yesterday.
On the front step?
On the front step, man. They got them. And they are so happy with the turkeys. That's why we get them every year from smokehouse, because they're outstanding.
Nathan, do you have a tradition that your family does, or anybody that around your family does, anything like that?
Smoked turkeys are the best. My family's luckily pretty mellow on Thanksgiving, right? Christmas is a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get together with all the siblings. Like, which side are you going to on what day? You got like 17 Christmas celebrations. It's Thanksgiving. I see one side of the family. Everyone there is like personable, non-controversial, as we talked
about earlier.
Yeah. Not a whole lot to write home about. Be going out to the other side of the family in western Kansas with my girlfriend over the weekend. First time with them. Don't know anything about the situation.
Are you going or you are going?
We are going.
You are going.
This next weekend.
Okay,
yes.
Where in western Kansas?
I couldn't tell you the town, man.
I mean, anything west of Lawrence is considered. I consider Tonganoxie western Kansas.
Lawrence of Arabia?
It is. Gosh, it's like 4 hours away from here, man.
You better start doing your research. We are in north
central Kansas.
And this is the first time meeting them?
I've met some of the family that lives like in the Manhattan, Kansas area, but we're going to the big thing. So yeah, that'd be my new
there
tradition.
Booze allowed at this thing?
I don't think so.
Going to be some chicken biscuit crackers and some cashews.
Yeah, cashews, chicken and biscuit, a can of cheese.
Mine is at my dad's house. My stepmom will always make the turkey. She geeks out during the holiday, and he'll carve it. Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
She'll come in. She'll be like, it's ready. I'm like, all right. So he goes in there, got the 1990 Betty Crocker.
Oh, I got that knife. It's great. You use it once a year.
Never broke down yet.
All right.
And then at my mom, she would usually make, no longer with us, but she would make a cheese ball. Nobody wants to do that anymore. So it died with mom. Like, we're good with that.
We don't need that.
And then my aunt comes in town from Nixa. And she makes this like marshmallow strawberry salad. It's really good. It's like a pink goop. And I know that's weird.
No, it's an old Jello mold salad that we had in the
80s. I don't know why it's good, but I eat it.
Because it's Jello and whipped cream.
And marshmallows and like chunks of fruit.
Why is that good? I don't know why this is good.
I don't know.
Here's a bowl of sugar that we're calling a salad.
It's really refreshing after you've had an amount, you've gorged yourself in salt and carbs and all that, and you get this like light, fluffy, sugary eruption. Oh, man.
It makes your teeth hurt by like the second bite, though.
Yeah, it locks your jaw, dude. For sure.
You gotta
go
to the dentist the next day and get your teeth cleaned professionally after chowing down.
And I think there's always like an old fashioned for me that gets poured at the end of the night when I get home.
Okay.
So I'll do that a lot because it's, and we'll talk about like staples and stuff like that as well. But for me, like I do like having that end of the day, like the,
it's over.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, especially like when you're bouncing from house to house. I'm very fortunate. I've never had that situation. My parents, you know, didn't get divorced, so we never had to do that. I can't imagine.
That's tough.
It's like tough. Like seriously, like because no matter what you do, somebody's not going to be happy. You spent more time at your mom's and
I heard that a lot from the old lady back in the day.
I'm sure you did.
Does Smith Center, Kansas.
Center, Kansas. No way. That's the home of Mitch Holthus. We go there every April. You're going to Smith Center. You need to go to Pooch's.
Pooch's.
Get Mitch back on the line.
Coach was Pooch's.
No, we didn't meet him there. We pretended he was there. But yes. But you need to go to Pooch's in Smith Center. They got a Casey's at Smith Center. It's outstanding. Mm. And then you've got to go. Barber, I know you're listening, my man. What's the name of the drive? Why am I blanking on the drive-thru in Smith Center?
Mm. Some traditions from the text line. My wife makes family makes a frozen cocktail called The Recipe.
Oh, God.
They just get drunk and loud. When all our family were together, we would play Monopoly every evening, but my mom, would being 100% Greek, changed the Monopoly night to Tripoli night so she could gamble.
Mm. Mm.
Our family tradition is to get blacked out hammered. Praise be. Someone says you can't make breakfast for $58.
Sure you can. It's what you want to make, right?
$1.09 a pound is what the turkeys cost.
Okay.
So there you go. Biggest tradition is watching my two aunts get drunk.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not
Jiffy Burger. That's where you need to go. Smith Center. Jiffy Burger. That's about it. We just gave you the rundown of Smith Center. Great place, great people. Ask him about the cabin. You go see the home on the range cabin where L. Dean Holthus works. That's Mitch's dad. He'll give you the tour.
Talking about Smith Center or Clay Center?
Smith Center, I'm talking
Smith
about.
Smith Center, okay.
Yeah, if you're talking about Clay Center, then we're not talking about the same place.
No, we are not. I'm familiar with Clay Center.
But Smith Center, you got to go tour the home on the range cabin. Every year we do a fundraiser for the home on the range cabin. It's great. Pickleball tournament out there. And then go to the high school and look at Mitch's high school picture.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
From the text line, Western Kansas is past Hayes and Smith Center is not past Hayes. So I was wrong.
Also, Mitch is from Clay Center.
No, he's not. He's from Smith Center, Kansas. Thanks, I know exactly where Mitch is from because I've been there.
Nate Taylor will join us at 9:30. We got an hour to go, Bob, and then it's off to get turkeys. And next, we get to our Richards of the Week on a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back into the show that we like to call Fesco and Dusty. If we sound more and more eager, it's because we know we've got 57 minutes left in the week. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in Kansas City, outside of Kansas City, everybody listening to the show, watching the show, doing the show with us. We appreciate you all. We are thankful for you all. Happy Thanksgiving week. Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty with you all here on 96.5 The Fan. Normally we do this bit on a Friday, but since there is no Friday show, there's no Thursday show, just today, it's 9 o'clock, we do the Richard of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That's still a great, great viral video. If you've never seen that video, Bob Fesco, I suggest you go watch it. This week's Richard of the Week again. No sponsors yet, but somebody could step up. I'll start this one. This is from Hertz. You sent me this article and you said, this might be something you'd like for Richard of the Week. And Hertz continues to be Hertz, threatens customer with arrest for using too many of its unlimited miles.
Say what?
So long story short.
You said unlimited, right?
Unlimited miles. Long story short, it would appear that someone rented a Hertz car for a month and the rental allowed unlimited miles.
Okay.
The man drove 25,000 miles on the car.
That's a lot.
Over the course of 30 days. The agency wasn't happy.
That's a lot per day, man.
It's brutal. It's kind of like a Jackass stunt where you're like, yeah, well, let's just see what we can do here.
Yeah.
Or it's John Voight's car. That's right. Riding in John Voight's car. Given the number of miles driven, the Hertz representative stated that the man would be charged an additional $10,000.
For what?
The miles on the car.
You said it was unlimited.
That's right. And the Hertz representative said, you need to leave, sir. The customer, but you're going to charge this to $10,000 to my credit? Yes, said the Hertz representative. The customer said, when this literally, that's not even allowed. I never signed. The representative said, you show me where it says I can charge. I can't charge it. The customer said, right here. It literally says, I won't get charged anything. It says miles allowed, free miles. It literally says to refer to this if there's anything extra. I've never signed anything saying I can only go 100 miles a day or anything like that, or that I would have to pay more. The Hertz representative says, but you also never signed anything saying you are going to be allowed to drive 25,000 miles in a month. The customer, no, unlimited is 100,000 miles. Hertz representative, no, it's not. Dude, I get it. The guy's an outlier. He drove 25,000 miles in 30 days on a rental car.
Yep.
But it didn't say he couldn't.
That's right.
And then you're going to charge the guy $10,000, and then he's going to get mad that you're going to do that, and then your only altercation is, sir, if you don't leave, we'll get you arrested.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. You can't. You can't. You can't do that. And somebody on the text line just pointed out, which I agree with, this is like the Red Lobster with the unlimited shrimp that they used and complained about why they're going out of business is because people saddled up and sucked down all the unlimited shrimp that they could possibly get, which if you're going to tell somebody something's unlimited, then you can't charge them when they get to a certain limit. I mean, it's just not something that you can do. And if you wanted to have a certain situation where you said it was limited miles, fine. That's one thing. But if you tell somebody it is unlimited miles or unlimited shrimp or unlimited ice cream or whatever the case may be, sorry, it's unlimited, and you got to deal with it. And who's this rogue Hertz employee anyway? Like, what do you care?
It's not the first time a Hertz story has been a Richard of the Week either. From the text line, their Richard of the Week is Hunter Richardson.
I kind of agree with that.
You're Richard of the Week, Bob Fesco.
My Richard of the Week is not any one person in particular. It's a group of folks. And I know this is going to occur. Today's the busiest travel day of the year, and then we get all the way through New Year's. People are going to be traveling. People are going to the airports. You're not the only one traveling, okay? And there's nothing worse than that Karen or Chad that's there at the airport thinking that airport, that flight, that terminal was built exclusively for them, and they can do whatever you want. Do not yell at TSA officials. Do not yell at gate agents. Do not try to get on the plane before your boarding time is called. I don't know if you saw what American Airlines is doing now. They're actually taking people out of line if they board wrong. Alarms will go off and they will embarrass you at the gate, which I love. Do not fake like you need to be in a wheelchair like most people do on Southwest to try to get on the flight early, or have 10 freaking family members try to get in the early boarding and all that kind of stuff. Everybody's trying to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice at the airport. You say it every day. Be yep. nice, do nice things. Be nice at the airport. Those TSA agents do not make enough money to deal with you.
Do you love the people that stand up on the plane as soon as it like lands?
Yeah, like where are you going, man? Like,
and what are you? What's the rush to get on the plane?
Flying Southwest, I understand that. But Southwest is now going with assigned seating here soon, so you're not gonna have to worry about that.
You still pick your seat when you check in on South. I just don't. You're at the airport and 80 people are standing in line. I'm like, I know when this plane leaves. I know when boarding ends. I'm gonna sit in this seat till boarding, unless you're in like first class or something.
Like, I get if you stand up for like 10 seconds to like stretch, move your legs, and then sit right back down. But the people that like stand up, go to the overhang, get their bag, and stand there, I'm like, where are you going?
Yeah, like I just race to
a red light.
Don't get. I'm in row 15, man. Like, I'm not gonna stand here all hunched over underneath the thing and trying to fight people out. And I'm like, people at the airport, especially this time of the year, it's the worst behavior in public that you could see. And I'm over it. I'm done with it. And nobody deserves to be treated terribly when they're trying to work at the airport to make sure everything moves safe, sound, and efficient, especially those TSA men and women who are severely underpaid, doing a job that nobody wants, and putting up with Karens and Chads everywhere. You're not the only one traveling. And you know what? If you're in a hurry, you're in a rush, that's on you. Get up earlier and get to the airport earlier.
Richard, the week for you?
Yeah, we might get some snow overnight into Sunday, like we talked about earlier, Dusty. It's going back and forth. But if we do, my Richard of the Week is also a group of people. Oh. You don't need multiple loaves of bread, multiple gallons of milk, hundreds of eggs. Yeah. If it snows half an inch over, you know, Sunday morning, your car will still work Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. The roads will still be open Sunday afternoon. And so will the grocery stores. Everything's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. And also, are either of you in like have you seen a community like Facebook group, for instance?
I'm in the Lee Summit community.
Yeah.
Group. Oh, it's, dude, it could be a show bit if you wanted it to.
Oh, man. Or just like go to like the KNBC9 news page when they give you updates about
weather. I mean, watching
people's
Facebook post really tells you why we are where we are as a society.
Oh, it's great.
Totally. And you have like these people that are like posting updates about like they just plowed 23rd Street or whatever. I don't care. We've seen snow before, and just all around, cool it.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time we truly had a snowstorm where you were stuck?
I don't know. I know there was one in Warrensburg when I was in school. We got 22 inches of snow.
How long ago was that?
2015.
So we're talking a decade.
It is 2014.
Decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can't recall a storm that we've had where, oh my God, I didn't have the things needed to make French toast.
My car was submerged. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
I mean, it was the biggest snowflakes I've ever seen and the fastest accumulation I've ever seen. Like, I literally rounded the troops up on Tuesday night. I was like, boys, let's go to the bar. There ain't going to be school the rest of the week. Well, they always say that. Fear mongers. They just want us to believe it. Like, guys, I can promise you there ain't going to be any snow or there ain't going to be any school. So I went to the store. I bought a bunch of dino nuggets, mac and cheese, frozen pizzas, you know, all the good stuff.
All the good stuff, yeah.
Went by my buddy's place to get the other good stuff. Knew I was home in, going to be locked in for a good 3 days. And by the time happy hour was over, again, happy hour was 4 to 7, there was 5 inches of snow on the ground.
Oh, my God.
We walked home, and it was up to, like, basically our thighs. Like, I was, like, literally, like, the world ends tomorrow or last day on Earth, whatever it was, walking back to my apartment. Numb. For many reasons, but I mean, it was the most crazy amount of snow ever seen.
That's wild. Yeah, I can't recall a big storm like that in a very long period of time. But if it does come, having it over the weekend where you don't have to go anywhere is fine. Like, I don't like the snow. I don't care for the snow all that much because I know I have to get up and get
snow
here early in the morning,
cool
right?
Once you're out of high school.
you're 100% right about that. But if it's going to snow on a Friday night and I don't have to go anywhere till Monday morning or something like that, and we can just have that snowed in weekend, I'm okay with that.
This would be the perfect weekend for a big snowstorm because your fridge is going to be full of leftovers.
Right.
You don't need to go buy anything.
Right.
I guess I'll heat up last night's. Fine, cool,
done. Yeah, and everybody be happy with that, you know?
No doubt about it. Speaking of everybody being happy, I don't know if this guy's ever been in a bad mood. He'll join us at 9:30. His name is Nate Taylor from The Athletic. We'll be right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. It is the home stretch for the holidays here for one Nathan, Bob, and Dusty. Thanks for joining us on 96.5 The Fan. A little bit more traffic picking up out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
You think the grocery store is busy now or at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Yeah, disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, no, now it's, I'm just judging based on what's going on outside with the traffic. Not a lot out there right now. Now is probably the time to get your last minute shopping done. Like I did yesterday.
That's right.
Over at the Hy-Vee, we went in and got the stuff for the mac and cheese my daughter wanted to make. She made that. I had one bite. I'm like, oh, God, this is rich. This is good.
Nailed it.
Yeah, she did.
Nate Taylor will join us here in about 10 minutes, and then we'll finish the show with our Thanksgiving power rankings. As it is a day before Thanksgiving, the traditional Friendsgiving. My advice to all of you out there, if you are going out to eat tonight, please be kind to your servers.
Be kind to everybody, man. Like,
true. It is a very busy night in the restaurant world. It is a very stressful night in the restaurant world. And some of those places are open tomorrow. So just remember, you know, maybe a little extra.
Yeah.
And get a ride. Be safe tonight.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Uber.
Uber.
It's a big party night. Be safe. Be smart.
Right. And tip those Ubers too, man. They're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
You might look at it and be like, man, $60 Uber ride, $140 Uber ride, cheaper than $6,000 for a, you know, driving under the influence.
And losing your life basically too. Yeah, so,
exactly. Yeah. Or hurting others.
Right. Speaking of hurting others, here's a tweet from Don Van Natta of ESPN. The Dallas-Fort Worth airport was surprisingly a delight this morning, except for the two drunk guys who nearly got into a fist fight at my gate. That was tweeted a minute ago.
And so it begins.
Hammered by 9 a.m. at the airport, fighting with each other, fisticuffs at the gate.
What time did they get there?
That's what I'm wondering.
Weren't listening to Fesco and Dusty, were they?
No. But look, if you're beating up each other, fine. Don't get the TSA and agents involved or the gate agents involved. I'm sure at that point in time, somebody had to get involved with that. But that goes back to the age-old question. It's never too early to drink at the airport.
Yeah, don't beat up others. Just beat yourself. Anyways. To give reference to your cover two from earlier, the weather of the snow game that is Bills Niners, it is facing a winter storm watch with over a half a foot of lake snow effect, 30 mile an hour winds and wind chills near single digits.
I'm in.
Is Buffalo going to play it?
Well, yes.
Well, last year they didn't.
We're going to have all the fans out there shoveling snow for tickets again.
I don't even know that they got tickets. I think they got like $18 an hour to go shovel. You can keep that, buddy. I ain't shoveling a stadium, man.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's hard work. I'm not interested in that.
I just take a snowblower to my section. Just, all right.
And done.
It's powder. I don't know what lake snow is. Is it like heavy, wet snow coming
out? I would imagine.
Or is it just, like, is it just crazy because it's coming off the lake?
I don't know. I would imagine it's probably denser and damper than others because it's coming off the water, you know. So I don't know, man. That's going to be wild to see.
Is it?
Bob's an expert on lakes.
Yeah. That's funny. I am interested though with that game because it's, you know, a West Coast team who's probably never, you know, have to deal with stuff like this, and then Buffalo. Either way.
Yeah.
But we all love snow games, so that fits perfectly for us. I will enjoy watching that game very much so. Also, Baltimore-Philadelphia, who you got?
I got to go Philly. I think they're the better team right now. They don't have the better coach. They don't have the better quarterback. But I think they're the better team right now. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia in this one. Against my own judgment of coach-quarterback combination. I just feel Philadelphia in this one.
Nathan?
Yeah, I like Philadelphia's longer-term prospects more, even despite those advantages. But give me Baltimore this weekend. I think Philly is just sort of due. I know that's not great analysis, but give me Mr. Regular Season himself and Lamar Jackson.
Okay. I'm going to take Philly in this matchup.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Baltimore's defense versus Philly's defense. Philly's got all their young talent you'd mentioned. I just give me Philly, man. I like Saquon over Derek. I like the receivers better in Philadelphia. I like the defense. I don't know, the defensive line for Philadelphia is crazy.
Baltimore's a 3-point favorite. They're getting the home bump, right?
Yeah, that's it. So it's basically a pick 'em game.
Yeah,
if you take old Vegas strategies to it.
People try to tell you that's not the case anymore.
Well, because the quarterback plays different.
Yeah.
So now it used to be like, quarterbacks are, you know, whatever, and the home crowd actually plays a factor. Now, like, you know, Mahomes going to Buffalo, right? Like, I know they just lost that game, but he'd been 3-0 in Buffalo before then. So really, what's the home field advantage? Like,
right.
It's, you got, you know, this quarterback coming into town. But yeah, no, I do want to talk a little bit before we get to Nate Taylor, because I'll bring this up with him, about the Chiefs and the Raiders game. And I know there's a lot of people that are kind of torn between, like, yeah, Mahomes said this, and I've heard stories that the locker room was down, which is true because we've heard enough people be like, yeah, that's just, you know, we won, but we didn't want to win that way.
Right.
Right. And then Mahomes was like, yeah, I'd love a blowout. I mean, the Raiders ruined Christmas last year in Kansas City. And then the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl and never lose again until last week or 2 weeks ago against Buffalo.
Right.
I want to think that the text line's more intelligent than we are when it comes to like realizing the game in itself and not being, you know, guys that are trying to entertain and give you a little bit of a boost in the arm for this game. But I also just don't believe that. I think that this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, Carolina, whatever. We never see them except every, you know, 4 years. They're irrelevant. But the Raiders, irrelevant when it comes to records in the division. But damn, they've beaten Patrick Mahomes more than anybody else in our division.
Breaking news real fast. Daniel Jones has picked his team.
And?
Guess.
Dallas Cowboys. And I'm not looking.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Minnesota Vikings.
Good for him.
Really?
Yep. He's going to the Minnesota Vikings. Yep.
So they'll have him behind Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
The team that was on the tip of my tongue was Cleveland.
Oh, God, no. He wanted to go to a team that's going to get into the postseason.
That's where I was struggling. Yeah. Backing up Sam Darnold?
Yep.
And
get an opportunity to, I don't know, revitalize his life, I guess, after, you know.
Are they riding with either of those guys next season?
No, that's like the thing, you know. J.J. McCarthy is, you know, going to be the guy, right? Like, he's supposed to be back and ready to go, and we'll see what happens as long as didn't he have another knee surgery, though? So, yeah. But no, Daniel Jones, breaking news, he is now a Minnesota Viking. Amazing how a guy like that had his pick of where to go. Again, bringing up the philosophy of the quarterback play in this league. Has something to be desired, man.
So he's going to score this weekend. Well, he won't play this weekend. But
no.
Week 18, anytime touchdown. Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Yep. Can you believe that? Minnesota took a chance on Daniel Jones.
Yeah. That's great. Apparently, he turned down the Raiders, too. He's like, nah, I don't want to go play with you guys.
So would I.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Right? I mean, like, what do you – he doesn't want to start.
Right.
He wants to just ride it out and see what the playoffs look like.
Right.
Why even try, you know?
Right.
I don't blame him, man.
Right.
And, I mean, you get to go be with – now watch that happen. Now watch Kevin O'Connell do something with Daniel Jones.
Oh, my God.
If he can turn around Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones, boy, oh, boy.
Build a statue for that guy, right?
No kidding. I mean, that ought to get you Coach of the Year for the next 5 years clean.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good for him.
Yeah, congratulations.
Daniel Jones to the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right.
Never heard of him. I think this Raiders game, man, I think it's I know the Chiefs don't do revenge games a whole lot, but this seems like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I think it is going to be that revenge game. I think I feel it in my bones. Mm-hmm. I think this is the one where they decide enough is enough. Y'all want to see us blow somebody out?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go blow somebody out.
All right. Let's get into Nate Taylor here on Fesco and Dusty.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah. All right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
All right. It is that time on a Wednesday. Day before Thanksgiving, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor here with us on Fesco and Dusty. First off, happy Thanksgiving Eve, and then happy Thanksgiving to all of you and your family, Mr. Taylor.
Yes. Thank you, Dusty. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Bob and your family, and obviously Nathan behind the board. It's a lovely day. Before a holiday.
Yeah, it really is. It's a beautiful day. We got football on Friday. It doesn't affect Thanksgiving tomorrow, which is great. You know, we get the Chiefs, though, afterwards against the Raiders. I don't know, bro. Like, I'm just feeling it this week. I'm feeling 55-7, right? Like, I feel like based on, like, Mahomes not being happy, hearing from some folks that, like, it felt like a loss in that locker room on Sunday. Like, I don't know. You tell me. You're around them more than I am. So, are you feeling it or not?
It'll definitely be interesting if they actually are able to do that on Friday. I still have some doubts because I know just how the team has operated this year. Look, I mean, at some point they got to win a game that's not like in the last minute, the last second. So do it sooner rather than later. I heard you earlier, Bob. I think if you were to get up 10-0 on the Raiders, the question then becomes, do the Raiders give in? Do they have any fight back in them? I know Aiden O'Connell's like not the best quarterback, so you know the game script needs to allow him to get into a rhythm versus like, hey, you're going to pass the ball 40 times today because we're down double digits. But I think that's what the Chiefs are trying to do. Like, jump on the Raiders early in the first quarter. Don't make this anywhere near as entertaining as like most of the country probably wants the game to be.
Right.
And you know, if you beat this, and I said this last week too, and I just, it was sort of perplexing that they could not accomplish it. Right. I think the offense was very workmanlike against the Panthers. It's the defense that didn't hold up the end of the bargain, where I thought, man, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, obviously Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, like all these guys need rest at some point. So can we take a fourth quarter off at least? You know, and that was my concern, knowing that this was going to be on Friday in a short week. So yes, you would love for them to blow somebody out. I know, I was in the press room when Patrick said, yes, I would love to not win the game on the last play. But I think everybody, I think every Chiefs fan agrees with him. But at some point, you actually got to do it. I want to remind everybody, the Raiders literally have nothing to play for after Friday. Friday is their Super Bowl. They are obviously the dwellers in the division. They are not going to the playoffs. Their quarterback situation is abysmal. So if the Raiders are ever going to get up for a game, unfortunately, it is going to be Friday. So why don't you put your foot on their neck in the first quarter and see how much they're willing to kind of claw back into the game.
No doubt about it. We asked Mitch Holtis this question because I saw it on Twitter go pretty crazy. But if Kelce catches a touchdown, he passes Tony G all time for the Chiefs. If Mahomes throws a touchdown pass, he passes Lynn Dawson all time for the Chiefs. What happens if that's the first touchdown of the game? Who gets the ball?
Script it up, guys. I don't care who it is, Matt Nagy, you know, Andrew Reid. Somebody script this thing. I think, knowing Patrick, the ball will go to Travis. You know, if you've watched closely, now that he is a full-on seasoned veteran, still in the prime of his career, of course, I think Patrick understands, hey, that's your first touchdown. I got to go run for that ball. Like, I'm not even celebrating with you, right? If you spike it, if you hand it to the referee, if you throw it in, you know, God knows whatever direction, like, he's running it down. He did it earlier this year for Xavier Worthy. He's done it in the past for other guys. So I think given the significance of the record, even though he will be a part of history himself, I think Patrick is a selfless enough and understands the gravity of such an accomplishment for Travis that he will give the ball to Travis.
Okay, yeah, I think they're going to cut it in half. I think they got a hacksaw on the sidelines. They're going to slice that thing up, and each of you get a half of the football, right?
What happens? You do need air, so I don't know how that's necessarily going to work. But one of the things that I know the team does is that, like, hey, you can get the official game ball, the one that you caught or ran into the end zone. But you know, I know Alan Wright, you know, head of the equipment department. He can give you a polished up, hey, commemorative this happened ball as well. So. Even if Patrick does give it to Travis, I know the Chiefs will probably do right by him and say, hey, by the way, on this game, on this date, on this play, in whatever quarter, you passed the great Lenny Dawson for the franchise record of touchdown passes. But I imagine Travis probably really cares to have that football if he catches it in the end zone, in particular in a win against the hated Raiders.
So let me ask you this one then. And I'll ask everybody this one. Everybody can weigh in on this one. Which is more impressive, Patrick breaking Len's record or Travis breaking Tony G's record?
This is a great question.
Thank you.
I mean, 28. I love this question.
Thank you.
I really love this question because what it informs you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are of my age and whether you appreciate history or not, thankfully I do, it tells you how much they were slinging that thing in the AFL, man. Woo! I mean, my God.
Yeah.
You look at some of the statistics and you're like, this really happened in like on this planet? Like they were throwing like I know the NFL had the more dominant TV deal, the more inherited franchises. You're like it's the Bears and the Packers and the you know, the Giants and the Cowboys. But, dog, the more entertaining sport was in the AFL because they didn't care what down it was. They were slinging it. So, historically, it kind of tells you how great Lynn Dawson was and either how bad everybody else was or that it informs you the sport, the longevity of the sport actually got shorter the more the sport became modernized, which is crazy when you think about it. But it's true. Like, Trent Green was very, very good, a Pro Bowl caliber player. It lasted like four seasons, guys. Mm-hmm. It was great, but it lasted four seasons. The sport is a lot different now because obviously we've opened it up through, you know, some of the play calling, the fact that guys, I mean, Andy's talked about this, the fact that high school kids are throwing the football more. Obviously you see that in college and that translates to the NFL. So these guys are more prepared to execute at a higher level if they're talented enough to get through such a violent sport. I think it's the quarterback record.
Okay. Okay.
But man, you go out there and you run routes and know that your knees can get sawed off. The safety could headhunt you and it hurts. Oh, and by the way, can you block on the next down? And oh, by the way, can you like pull for this guy? And oh, by the way, can you like cut block this guy? Oh, you want to run routes? Oh, that's fun. That's cute. Yeah, doing it in the red zone with like the least amount of space to operate within. It's tough. I think it's the quarterback because it's the hardest position in the sport in our country, but tight end is not that far behind.
It's also, you're going to tear your ACL your first year in the league and miss an entire year, plus in the last 5 years of your career, you're going to sit out the last game of the season. So either way, yeah, it's I could see both sides of it. The age, I think, is what wins Patrick Mahomes the award for doing it first, or doing it as opposed to the tight end. But, Nate, I do want to bring this up. DeAndre Hopkins, it seems to be the number is 60% of snaps, more or less, or if it's a blowout, obviously you can take that question and go elsewhere, but anything behind that?
I think it's a number of things. I think this team is very protective of its fourth round pick, as silly as that is. And I know that drives people nuts, but hey, they are 10-1, so they kind of know what they're doing. I also think too, it's a little bit of like, hey, you know, we don't have to push you, you know, we're trying to get the one seed, but DeAndre, you're 32. And like, we want you to be at your absolute peak in January. So like, sure, you could run another 10 routes or you could be on the field another 15 plays, but we also have to develop Xavier Worthy. Justin Watson is still in the mix, obviously, cause he's got a lot of trust and chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. And he's just, you know, he's just a viable, you know, reliable, dependable option, right? You still have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's coming back from the hamstring. He's got to get into a rhythm. I think he's been slow in his return based on what I anticipated. But hey, hamstrings are a bit naggy, and you know, you just want to see where it goes. So there's not a desire. Oh, by the way, Travis Kelce is still running routes. And, Noah Gray all of a sudden is like a thing. So like, again, like, it's not like, man, we only have two options, DeAndre, and you're one of them. And like, please get out there on the field. They have a little bit of a luxury, and if he doesn't play 60% of the snaps, we don't even have to worry going into the, you know, Super Bowl that, you know, it's going to go from a fifth-round pick to a fourth-round pick, because that was the deal, right? You had – DeAndre had to play at least 60% of the snaps, and the Chiefs had to go to the Super Bowl. So, obviously, you want to go to the Super Bowl, but in order to make that pick a for-sure fifth-round pick and not a fourth one, hey, man, come to the sideline real quick. You see what we're doing here? You see, you understand where you're going to go next? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's – this is all tactical, right? I mean, the Chiefs got the Titans to give them a legitimate, great wide receiver who is a possession receiver, who knows how to get open, who has immediately helped the quarterback. If you look at Patrick's statistics from the moment DeAndre Hopkins arrived to before he was here, they look quite different. They're a lot better. And oh, by the way, hey man, can y'all eat like $2.5 million of his contract so like we can keep trading for dudes? And like, and by the way, like, I know you want a fourth. What if it's a fifth? And like, it could be a fourth, wink, wink. And then you put your hand over the phone and say, it's never going to be a fifth. It's never going to be a fourth.
Right. I do. I love the line of thinking there. Cause I'm totally in lockstep with you on that one. That's the way it's going to end.
Another Veach flex.
Them. Yeah, exactly. Right. Speaking of that, DJ Humphreys gets signed on Friday. What's realistic expectation for when he plays and what to expect?
Yeah, fellas, it's something I know a lot of fans are thinking about, and I have a story in The Athletic that came out this morning that sort of tells me to tell you all that the best possible scenario, given that you get a little bit of an extended, recovery from Friday's game, you get an extra 2 days, maybe, just maybe, he could play against the Chargers on December 8th. I think the more likely option, if we were going in the more traditional manner of how Andy Reid onboards guys in the playbook, on the practice field, getting timing with their teammates. By the way, this guy's coming off an ACL tear, so you don't want to necessarily rush him. The likelihood is probably December 15th against the Cleveland Browns. Because, oh, by the way, don't they have Myles Garrett? Oh, my God. Yeah, he needs to be ready by December 15th.
Oh, yeah.
But the best possible chance is next week against the Chargers. I doubt it. I would say the odds are probably 70 against the Browns, 30 against the Chargers. But that's the best case scenario, is that, hey, he can get through the first game. He won't necessarily be as much of a liability as, obviously, Kingsley Suamataia, or he won't be as banged up, or, as kind of hit or miss as Wanya Morris has been. But, yeah, he needs to be ready, because I can't imagine Myles Garrett lining up anywhere across Juwan Taylor when, hey, it's a new guy at left tackle, or it's Wanya Morris. It's kind of terrifying when you think about the fact that they are better than Cleveland, but Cleveland has the exact thing to maybe disrupt their offense. And, oh, by the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on Christmas Day, and they also have the exact thing to disrupt your offense and TJ Watt.
Nate, I've got one more question, and I'll have a follow-up, Brad. Who plays more this week, Isaiah Pacheco, Chuck Omenihue, or Joshua Uche?
It better be Joshua Uche. It better be. I mean, guys, let him go. Let him go. Cut him loose. Like, okay, he's on a little restriction, right? He's learning the system. Hey, man, this is real football, okay? When the calendar hits Thanksgiving, when you're a Super Bowl contender, okay, it's real now. It ain't the little fun in the sun in September. It ain't the little, like, hey, we're trying to experiment this or trying to develop this guy in October. Nah, man, it's real now. This is a sprint. You have a 6-week sprint to ensure yourself that you get an extra week off with the number one seed and home field advantage in the AFC. So you traded for this dude. You're not getting that pick back in 2026. He is your best speed rusher. Go ahead and use him. It's understandable. They might give Pacheco like 8 touches, okay, just to get his feet wet, just to get him back in rhythm. Same for Charles Omenihue. Hey, man, you're coming off an ACL. Joshua Uche is fully healthy. Play him.
So before we let you go and eat the turkey and all that kind of stuff, is this the week Chris Jones finally gets into the sack column after 7 weeks of basically not being there?
Guys, I can't tell you how hard it's been for this man, right? How hard the burden that is on Chris Jones' shoulders, because he cares about sacks. Don't get me wrong, guys. He's trying really hard, ladies and gentlemen. It just sucks that, like, he's getting double teamed probably more than any interior defensive lineman in the league, and he's still getting pressure. That's one of the reasons why, Mike Dana got his sack. It's like, hey, Chris Jones just destroyed 3 guys so that Bryce Young could basically fall into my lap. And good for Mike Dana to get back into the sack column based on his struggles, earlier this season, and him having to play through injuries. It's unfortunate they didn't get the fumble there on his strip sack. But I think this is the week, because, I mean, have you watched the Raiders? They're bad, real bad. And again, have the offense get you up by 10 or 14 points and let Chris Jones pin his ears back. Because I think that's another issue, too. They've been in so many close games. Okay, I kind of have to honor the run. Or, man, you try chasing Josh Allen down. Or is Bryce Young playing the best we've ever seen him? Like, it's just they play very weird games. I mean, that's who the Chiefs are. But I do think this is the week where, again, if the Chiefs do what they're supposed to do, Chris Jones will get a sack, can take a deep breath, and then can prepare himself for the sprint. And, okay, we beat the Raiders. I need to show up and be my absolute best against, obviously, the Chargers, who have a good defense, the Browns, who have Myles Garrett, who's one of the leading contenders for the Defensive Player of the Year award. And then, oh, by the way, TJ Watt, who is just a sack king, because whatever Mike Tomlin's doing up there, it works, man. So it's time for Chris to go on a little bit of a run himself, so I will say yes. He will get a sack on Friday.
All right, Nate, we appreciate you. We're thankful for you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving with your family and everybody there, and then enjoy your Red/Black Friday after the holiday.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, and I would tell Amazon, just because it says Black Friday, you don't have to put the Raiders on things on the day after Thanksgiving every year. You don't have to do that. They're not good. Do that, Amazon.
All right.
Take care, Nate.
See you, Nate.
All right, see you.
Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Power rankings on Thanksgiving. I'll give you mine on the other side. Here on Fesco and Dusty, you are listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back in. Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Final segment before we are out of here. Hope you all have a great holiday this week. Hope you stay safe. Tip your servers, tip your Uber drivers. Our buddy Aussie said, fourth biggest Uber calendar day.
Fourth biggest? But Cinco de Mayo, New Year's, and St. Patrick's Day bigger?
Could be.
Right?
Could be. Yeah. I would say that definitely New Year's Eve or New Year's Eve for sure. St. Patty's Day.
4th of July?
Man. A lot of people travel.
Yeah. Though. Summer vacations.
I mean, I use the hell out of it on 4th of July. I'll tell you that much. I never really go out of town. Interesting story here. I didn't know golf could be this serious. Florida, so hold your coffee. A Florida golfer was arrested for murder at a course on Monday after authorities say a witness saw him savagely beat a man with several clubs and then drown the guy in a nearby water hazard.
I saw the headline for this.
What
and I'm
in
like,
the world?
And then life happened and I didn't click on it. Oh, my God.
Tried to, like, put him in the... Oh, Lord. I didn't know golf was that serious.
Speaking of Richards.
Yeah, no kidding. But I did ask, or I did tell you guys, I'm going to give you my power rankings for Thanksgiving holiday. Number one is family.
Mm-hmm.
You're all happy because it's a food coma day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's nobody really pissed off at certain family members there. If they are, they just don't show up or they just go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, food. You get one round on this spread. You know, you get Thanksgiving, and then you really don't eat green bean casserole in July.
Right. No, never.
You're not really making...
You're not making stuffing
on Christmas. Some people might, and maybe you're non-traditionalist, and you do your own thing. But a lot of people do, like, Chinese food on Christmas, or they do taco bar on Christmas. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So food, number two on the power rankings. Football is number three on my power ranking. It brings people together in more ways than you might think. Like, you might sit there and say to yourself, and I do this a lot, I get caught up in what just is the matchup. Like, I'm like, I don't care about Chicago and Detroit, but you know what? Who's got, guess what? Somebody's got Jahmyr Gibbs on their fantasy team in your family. Fantasy teams have erupted into more than just, you know, the two dudes in the family. Now, like, my wife plays in our work league, or so-and-so plays in our work league. Also, betting is there. Like, hey, what's the score of that game? I got the over on, you know, 46.5. It's like, okay, that is. And then also fandom.
Yeah.
There's always people that are maybe a Lions fan, Cowboys fan, Bears fan, oh my. Number four, bourbon. Bourbon is a big play in Thanksgiving for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is easier to drink after a power meal. The last thing I want to do is drink a Mick Ultra or drink a Miller High Life right after I've eaten a bunch of food.
No beer near me at
but
all.
If I have
weekend.
A like, nice old fashioned, it keeps my buzz going and doesn't make me feel completely bloated.
Mm-hmm.
Number five on the power rankings is Pinot Noir. I'll explain. It's the perfect nightcap for the first Christmas movie and a little, you know, loving.
Mm-hmm.
You get that nice wine, warm drink in you. You know, maybe you and the lady split a bottle. You're feeling good.
Split.
You're full.
Smash.
Split two bottles. You put on the first Christmas movie of the year. You sit there. You watch it. Everything's relaxed. You're full. You're warm. You're loving. And then you end the night with a little bit of, you know.
Golden Corral.
That's right.
Yeah.
All you can eat.
That's smash.
Absolutely.
Now, I think the first three are the most important. Football, family, and food.
Family, food, football.
Yeah, yep. And whatever order you want to do it in, family, food, football, that's probably, I think you nailed it, with the top three. And after that, the rest, I hate to use this term, it's all gravy afterwards, right? I mean, that's because it whatever happens, happens. You got your family with you, you got the football game on, maybe you got a fire burning in your fireplace or outside, probably have it going in the solo stove outside as well and whatnot. And so, yeah, those are the three things. Thanksgiving is a great day, man. I hope everybody truly enjoys it. Those that are up listening, paying attention today. Nobody fights with their family. Nobody discusses things that don't need to be discussed at the family table. You don't want to leave Thanksgiving saying, I'm never going to see these people again.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now.
And Lincoln, like we told you, if they do that sort of stuff, you just... You just jam this in your kitchen. And then somebody who thinks they're going to start talking politics hears this and goes,
greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
the hell is this?
Yeah. Just greens, redirect greens, those
tomatoes,
folks.
That's where it's at. You probably never need to hear that song.
No, I don't. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good with that. So,
did you watch any of the TNT crew last night? It was classic and comical.
No.
Okay.
And to me,
the welding glasses. Yeah.
The ghost.
Man, a lot.
Like Madea.
Hey, man, y'all trying to be funny?
Obviously, they're not working very well because you've been staring at something forever. Like
I told y'all the wild card. Listen. The wild card in
what
the West.
What am I eating tomorrow for Thanksgiving with the futuristic ass glasses?
Hey, Ernie, the wild card in the West is the Memphis Grizzlies.
I see you.
Yes, they are the wild card.
Let me see those trucker glasses.
No, man, I need these to see, man. You got on glasses, fool. You don't need two pair.
Yes, Harlem Nights.
Yes,
correct.
That's exactly how you look.
On those sunny days in Phoenix, you can see Chuck burning up those anthills with that thing.
The West is interesting.
That is. Just like those glasses.
I haven't even seen the glasses, but I'm laughing.
Oh, my gosh,
so
dude.
Good.
They're like 4 inches thick, and he still can't see through them.
Oh.
And then they just completely turn around on Shaq because his hands are like completely just dried out. And Shaq's like, I've got equity like 150,000 business. And like Jalen Rose, like, you need to get some like business and some like hand lotion. And they show his hands, dude. And they're like just like skin and bones, dude. Oh. It's so dry.
Mm.
But it's one of those things, man. It's one of the best for a reason because they all can clown on each other and at the end of the day can walk out of the room and still be best
friends. That's right, exactly.
And that was Jalen Rose in there for the Jet, for Kenny Smith. So that was a good night last night to watch that college basketball. Once again, they finally got it right, and the Chiefs will play on Friday at 2 o'clock, and we'll hope for a win against the Raiders.
And if we need a kicker, Hunter Kickinson will be available. He's ready to go, right?
To me,
Hunter Richardson?
Yeah.
Mm, that's what they say it was. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's like we say every week on this show, especially today. It's a lot of things going on today. A lot of busy people out there. A lot of stress. Go be kind. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their month, week, day, or even their year. Kansas City, stay cool. Stay kind. Stay safe. Stay warm. We'll talk to you on Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, Kansas City. We're thankful for you. Beans, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken.